This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Class War at Home, the Destruction of Pensions. We're continuing today with our conversation with Jack Rasmus. Last week, we discussed class war at home, the income inequality, and today we're discussing the destruction of pensions. Jack Rasmus is on the National Executive Board of the National Writers Union, UAW, that's the United Auto Workers, 1981. He's the chair of the San Francisco Bay Area chapter of the Writers Union. He's been a local union president and organizer for many years. Jack is also a professor with a PhD in political economy. Most of all, Jack is the author of important work, The War at Home, Economic Class War in America, The Corporate Offensive from Ronald Reagan to George W. Bush. And we recommend that you read in its entirety The War at Home. We are discussing over the coming weeks issues from this important work that affect all of us workers here in the United States. The battle in our own backyards, is what Jack writes, is the current corporate offensive against workers and unions, which began a quarter century ago under Reagan and is now accelerating under President George W. Bush. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you. Well, let me mention that the fourth offensive that you refer to that Jack has categorized is exactly that, the fourth corporate offensive. The Reagan offensive is but the little continuation of the process of class war and corporate assault upon working people and all of the gains for which they have fought. In a certain sense, you might say that every time a concession is made, it's only on the basis of mobilizations independent of the corporate ruling class. As long as we're outside of their control, we can exact concessions in the form of reforms. As soon as we cease to mobilize in our own name, they take them right back. When they co-opt us, when they demobilize us, when they incorporate us within their political structures, they go on the immediate offensive. They're always pushing and probing, and I think these four corporate offensives and the whole thrust of Jack's work demonstrate dramatically exactly how the corporate ruling class is always pushing, probing, and testing how far they can get in driving wages down, in destroying our gains, and in imposing the capitalist agenda on working people.
Jack, I'd like to start with the discussion of pensions themselves. You mention in a very important article, aside from his book on the class war at home, Jack is also the author of many articles that have appeared in Z Magazine, some of which we'll discuss today. And in Tolling the Retirement Bell in America, which appeared in Z Magazine October 2006, Jack, you mentioned that 125,000 defined benefit plans, that is where people have a set amount of income each month, have disappeared since the 1980s with President Ronald Reagan. 80% of the workforce were covered by defined benefit plans. That's where you have a set amount of income each month based upon the number of years you've worked and your highest salary when you retire. And today, only 20% of the workforce is covered. Now, this includes the 45 million people who are covered by Social Security. And at the time, 46 million more had been covered by defined benefit plans. Now fewer are and more are covered by what are 401k, or that is investment plans, where you don't have a stable income each month. So could you please describe the changes that have taken place in this very important aspect of when you're no longer working and you depend upon the accumulated, the deferred savings, because after all, a lot of what your pension is money that what it came out of your wages and that was put into savings.
Yes, well, part of this, major part of this corporate offensive is the dismantling of the retirement system going on right under our nose. And, the core of that is what's happened to defined pension plans, but also the attack on Social Security, elimination of retirees' health benefits, and so forth. This is a multi-front war going on Essentially, corporate America wants to get out of providing and participating in any way in assisting retirement. The current defined benefit system originated in the late 1940s. Up until that time, you know, workers didn't have pensions. There was just Social Security, which was not fully funded yet. And, you know, labor's whole approach was we're going to expand Social Security, universal health care, true retirement, 100% retirement, so forth. But what happened in the late 1940s is that right after the passage, by the way, of Taft-Hartley in 47, major unions broke ranks with that whole philosophy. The mine workers, the auto workers, the steel workers, they went off and they negotiated pension plans just for their individual representative workers. Now, up until that time, corporate America strongly resisted pension negotiating over pensions, but all of a sudden they were very cooperative in that whole approach because the government played a role in making it incentive and attractive for corporations and management to play that role. What happened in the late 40s was that the government changed some of its rules that allowed corporations to tax deduct pension contributions by workers and health care contributions by workers. So they could write it all off and pass it on to the consumer. At the same time, another rule was passed in the late 40s, and that allowed corporations to count pension plans, the value of the plan, on their balance sheets.
Now, could you explain what you mean by being on the balance sheet?
Yeah, it makes it look like the whole value of the plan makes it look like a profit. So it looks like they're much more profitable than they really are. And, of course, you know, when CEOs and managers look like their corporation is more profitable, they get big bonuses. So that was the incentive for them to go along with defined benefit plans. But there was an element in the defined benefit plans that management and corporations still did not like, and that was they were liable for the level of benefits no matter what the contributions were. And that liability has irked them for decades. And when labor was weakened in the late 1970s and this new corporate offensive began, corporations and their friends decided that we don't want this liability anymore. And in the late 1970s, what was created was 401ks. 401k refers to the IRS section of the IRS code called 401ks. And essentially, the difference between a 401k and the defined benefit plan is that management doesn't have the liability. In other words, they'll put a certain amount, and it's usually much less amount than the defined benefit plan, into a 401k or a defined contribution plan, as it's called. And if it goes bust, then tough luck. You know, worker, you're without a pension.
Well, Jack, there's a very fundamental issue involved, as you describe it so well. Brothers and sisters, a defined benefit pension plan means that the corporate bosses are obligated to provide pensions. They have an absolute obligation, and you are assured of the pension amount that you are entitled to. But they've replaced this with what Jack describes as defined contribution plans. And this is more than a semantic difference, because the fundamental issue is in a defined contribution plan, the bosses don't have to secure any amount of pension that you're entitled to. You don't know what you're going to get. They just have to contribute something. And how it pans out is in the lap of the speculative stock market gods and the whims of the corporate bosses. Because, yeah, they're contributing, but they don't have any obligation to secure you with your benefit or your pension. So what the consequences of the benefits under a defined benefit plan must be paid regardless of investment success. But in the contribution plan, yeah, if the bosses decide that they haven't made enough, you don't have any certainty about what you're going to receive at the end of the day, and you can be damn sure that they do this to precisely to avoid providing you with any kind of result that you would be entitled to under the guaranteed system.
Right, and if you're an employee of Enron or WorldCom or all those other companies that got caught engaging in fraud and collapsed, then you get absolutely nothing.
Well, this is what happened with the steel workers also, with manipulation of pension funds, which we'll discuss later, where the steel workers and people in other manufacturing sectors, and they're retired or they're coming towards retirement, and the pension funds were bust, or as Enron, where the 401k plans were invested in company stock. And when the company stock went down to worthlessness, then the pension plans were also eliminated. But let's go back to something that's really in the discussion of Social Security, which was only meant which has evolved, which, as you said, was meant to be a full retirement plan in the eyes of the unions, and they gave up that notion, and is really now at a point where it's only to keep people at a poverty level. It's the lowest base, the lowest amount of money. When you have very high income, the amount you get from Social Security is definitely not enough to sustain you. So let's go back to this notion, because in Europe, for instance, in many countries in Europe, you have really state pension plans, which is universal Social Security. And in the United States, the shift was to employer-oriented pension plans, which could then be totally manipulated. And now the shift is where the whole notion of retirement is on the individual for the most part, instead of it being a social factor, instead of it being the social factor of the society taking care of people who are no longer in the workforce but have spent their life working, it is now dependent upon each individual. Could you really discuss that shift, that transition more? Because that affects everything that is happening, mm-hmm. and that really goes to the point that Ralph was making at the very beginning of the show.
Yeah, well, if you have a true Social Security and a state, essentially in Europe, a state-defined pension plan, that's a fund that corporations can't get at, you know, and that drives them crazy. They see this trillions of dollars in this fund, and they can't manipulate it in any way, shape, or form. And that's how you have to see how defined benefit plans originated, because now they could be manipulated. And once the value of those pension funds had reached a certain level in the 60s, 70s, and certainly by the time Reagan came into office, here were these defined benefit funds and huge amount of source of capital for corporations. And they started siphoning off the money off the top from these funds and spending that money. Under Reagan in 1983, IRS rule was passed called Rule 8352. And that essentially allowed corporations to take the money from the pension plans and spend it as they saw fit. There was a ruling that said that wasn't workers' money, even though workers contributed to it on their paychecks, that was money that belonged to the corporations now. And what you saw in the 1980s under Reagan was wholesale theft from pension plans. You may have remembered here a year or so ago, United Airlines pension went bust, $10 bucks. Well, people don't know, in the 1980s, $300 million was taken out of the United Airlines pension fund by management and spent and never put back. So there was wholesale theft during the 80s of defined benefit plans. At the same time, it was during the 80s that the 401k plans began to grow. Again, the government under Reagan providing really strong incentives for corporations to move from defined benefit plans to 401k. So 401ks are the substitution for defined benefit plans, which started to be dismantled during the 1980s. And since the 1980s, as you pointed out, we've lost 125,000 defined benefit plans, and there's only like 28,000 left. So they've been dismantling these and replacing them with 401ks, because with 401ks, they've got total control over the amount of funds there and how they want to invest them and play games.
That's money in Wall Street.
And that's basically speculation on the stock market. And bear in mind that here you have a circumstance in which, with defined benefit plans, workers are entitled to a pension. They are entitled to their benefits. They are guaranteed these benefits. The corporation is obligated to pay these benefits. They're replacing this with a system in which they have no such obligation. On the contrary, it's at their whim. How they choose to invest and who makes money on it is at their discretion. And then consider what this means in practical terms, with the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation now having defined benefit plans replaced by basically private speculation systems, of which 401ks are an example. The 401k plans pay as JAK documents between one half to two-thirds of defined benefit plans, with absolutely no guarantee that you'll get them at all. 85,000 defined benefit plans disappeared. 40,000 of them went bust completely. 75% of the defined benefit plans' coverage fell to 20% within a relatively short space of time. So what we're really looking at here is a form of piracy. The corporations replace obligation with speculation without obligation. They have no commitment to guarantee you that you'll get a damn thing or a fraction of that. There is no compelling obligation, and the worker cannot rely on it. You rely on your retirement after working 30 and 40 years. It ain't there. You rely on a pension plan to sustain your family and yourself. Forget about it. The realities are that the cash balance plans, 40 to 65%, as Jack shows, are actually paid. And with the coup de grace, 7 million workers were impacted by this sleight of hand. You're really talking about a speculative system that's rich with fees for the stock market brokers, the commissions. Every time, instead of a defined benefit plan under these investment schemes, private investment schemes, whether the bosses do it or the workers ask to do it, stock market makes huge amounts of money. And what they do is they put them in speculative hedge funds, and guess what? The hedge funds collapse. Hundreds of billions of dollars of underfunding are the outcome.
Well, let's look at some of the theft from pension funds. I was actually startled by the statistics in your book, The War at Home, in the chapter on pensions, where you note that Exxon, one of the most profitable companies mm-hmm. in the United States and the world at the time, this is when you're referring to the 1980s, and certainly today with the skyrocketing price of oil, that at that time, Exxon skimmed off $1.6 billion of the surplus in its pension fund in 1986 and used it to pay for refunds to customers ordered by a court case it lost. That is taking money from a secure, defined savings program of the workforce, the Exxon workforce, taking that money, the workers' money, and using it for refunds to its stockholders and customers. And that Goodyear also took $400 million from its fund. And as you mentioned, United Airlines skimmed hundreds of millions. And that it's not just these private funds. It's actually the U.S. government dipping into Social Security, which is what would they call the lockbox, the secure money. This is workers' savings. It's taken out of your wages. If you look at your wage statement, you'll see Social Security. It's a tax on workers for potential. It's for savings for your retirement. And this money is not supposed to be spent by the federal government for anything but paying the Social Security beneficiaries. And yet, I forgot the amount. Is it over $1 trillion has been taken from the Social Security fund? And I'd like you to discuss this theft. This mm-hmm. theft by corporations, sure. And most of all, the theft by the federal government.
Actually, the number in terms of principal and interest that's been siphoned off of the Social Security Trust Fund since the tax increases were imposed, payroll tax, FICA tax, during the 1980s, during Reagan, the amount of money is about $4 trillion. Not billion, trillion dollars. Every year, there's a surplus in Social Security of hundreds of billions of dollars. In other words, it's a pay-as-you-go system. So those who are paying into it, the money that goes into it every year, goes out to pay for those who are retired. Those who are working pay for those who are retired. Now, we pay a lot more money into it than goes out every year. So there's a surplus every year, and that surplus is hundreds of billions, and it's been growing. Now, you mentioned a lockbox. That money goes into Social Security Trust Fund is not supposed to be touched. However, every year Congress, both Democrat and Republican Congresses, suspend a lockbox, they take the money out of the Social Security Trust Fund, and they transfer it to U.S. General Budget Fund in order to keep the deficits down in the U.S. Budget Fund. We're running $300-400 billion deficits, but actually there's $600-700 billion deficits because every year a couple hundred billions transfer from the Social Security Trust Fund. Now, that's just like pensions, defined benefit pensions. That's, as you say, the workers' contribution, their money, but it's taken out. And when they say, oh, there's a problem with Social Security has balanced the U.S. budget for 20 years now. It's floated the U.S. budget, and it's made possible in the general U.S. budget to give these huge tax increases for the rich and to continue war spending.
You mean tax cuts to
tax
the rich.
Tax cuts for the rich. Tax cuts for, excuse me.
Tax it's
cuts
a tax for the rich. Increase to all of us working
right.
people.
We have to pay
it's
the
a tax cut for the rich.
Well, let's look at this exactly what Jack is documenting here, brothers and sisters. Here's what it means. There are trillions of dollars involved. This is the flesh and blood labor, the sweat of your brow, your lifetime contribution through your labor, what you have contributed by your work, what is put aside and saved for you to retire is now being stolen. It is being deployed. It is being dipped into to pay for their own costs. And what they do is they give these trillions of dollars of tax cuts to the rich, the super rich, and the mega rich, and then they overcome those deficits by dipping into your pension funds, your Social Security, brothers and sisters. This isn't just class war. This is theft at the top. It's the crime in the suites. You just had this IMUS business about the demonization of young black women. This is the little continuation of what corporate media do. Your news is loaded with crime in the streets, black crime in the streets. It's the lead item on every news report for the past 25 years. Constant reference to crime, crime, crime by the poor, by the disadvantaged, when in fact they are fractional in their performance even of this crime of survival. This is the criminalization of poverty. But while this media focus on the survival means of the disadvantaged and the exploited and the poor is proceeding, this corporate theft unfolds on a scale that is unimaginable. And where Jack is talking here, as he just indicated, the transfer of trillions of dollars from 150 million workers to corporate America. This is, to quote Jack, what is happening is a fundamental change in the rules of the game, determining retirement in America. Rules established in the post-World War II period are replaced with a new set of rules. At stake is the transfer of trillions of dollars from the 150 million working and middle-class Americans and retirees to banks, insurance companies, mutual funds, corporate CEOs, and major shareholder beneficiaries. This is class war with a vengeance.
Just to elaborate a little bit on this question of the Social Security surplus transfer, academics and others will argue that, and the government argues as well, we owe this to ourselves. The government owes this to ourselves. We can replace this $4 trillion. That's not a big problem.
By owe, you mean that the government issues special bonds. In other words, it's creating its own loan instrument when it takes the money out.
What essentially the government does, it creates a special treasury bond that's not transferable. It puts it as an IOU in the Social Security Trust Fund, says the government owes the trust fund this amount of money. Now, it's true in an accounting sense. The government could replace that money, but to replace it, the government would have to go and sell treasury bonds to the investment banks in New York and to the Japanese and Chinese and so forth to raise that money, that $4 trillion again, to put it back in the Social Security Trust Fund. But when it did that, if it ever did that, it would have to go then to the general budget deficit and add $300-400 billion more every year for the next 10 years. So,
well, this is money,
they'll never
for
do it.
Money for interest payments on the treasury bonds.
Well, it would be the $4 trillion they would borrow
right.
by selling bonds to put that money back in the Social Security Trust Fund. They would then owe that money. So that owing of that money would have to show up in the U.S. general budget deficit. So instead of $300-400 billion of deficit every year, it'd be $700 billion for the next 10 years. So while in an accounting sense they could do that, politically they will never do that. That money, that $4 trillion, that workers' money is gone. It's spent, and it's spent to balance the U.S. – to try to balance the U.S. budget deficit, which still doesn't get balanced. because of the huge tax cuts for the rich. Just under George W. Bush in his first term, $3.4 trillion of tax cuts, and 80% of that, studies show, is going for the wealthiest 10%. And the wealthiest 1% get 40% of that. So you have, and then, of course, the Iraq War in Afghanistan, that's over $1 trillion now. So your retirement, workers' Social Security retirement, is funding these tax cuts and this war spending.
So, Jack, what does that mean for people of our age? After all, the baby boomers, there was an increase in the population, and the increase in the workforce was in the pay-as-you-go, paying for the prior workforce, those from our parents' generation who were retiring. But now, as in the next few years, the baby boomers will start to retire. So one of the things they've done is they've raised the retirement age for Social Security. But what are the other things that the government is trying to do in order to steal more from those of us who have been contributing to our future?
Well, the Social Security Trust Fund will generate another $1.1 trillion surplus over the next 10 years, okay? And you will still have enough money for pay as you go. In other words, everybody who's retiring until about 2048. At 2048, you will still have enough money to pay 80% of all the Social Security retirement benefits until like 2076. All you have to do with Social Security is increase the amount of the ceiling in which Social Security is paid from its current ceiling of $90,000. In other words, all workers have to pay their full paycheck, basically, Social Security. But people who make capital incomes, dividends, interest rates, capital gains, don't pay Social Security on all that income that they make. If you just increase the ceiling of annual income in which Social Security was applied from the current 90 to about 150,000, in other words, everyone making all incomes up to 150,000, you would totally fund Social Security, for the rest of the century. It doesn't take much to fix Social Security after 10 years when the surplus begins to disappear. Now,
so, Jack, to explain, just to go back before you go on, to explain to our listeners, people who are earning above $90,000 don't pay their payroll tax, their Social Security, on their income above, on their salary above $90,000. Is that correct?
It's actually worse than that. If you're making your income from capital incomes, dividends, capital gains, so forth, you don't pay anything. It's just on your salary, your wage, your paycheck, that up to $90,000 of an earned salary, you will pay the 15.3% Social Security tax, covers Medicare and retirement and so forth, right? So if you raise that on salaries up to $150,000, there would be no problem whatsoever. Now, one thing I propose in my book is let's abolish the payroll tax for Social Security. Let's give all workers a 15% immediate raise. Well, then the question becomes, well, how do you fund Social Security? Well, I've done some calculations. And if you then substituted that payroll tax of 15% with a 7.5% tax on the adjusted gross income, all incomes, capital incomes, in other words, on your 1040 form, line 36, the bottom of the first page, if everybody had to pay 7.5%, you would not only generate enough money to pay for Social Security the rest of the century, you would have enough money to provide prescription drugs for everybody for free. And then if you close the foreign corporate tax loopholes, you would have enough money to fund universal health care for everybody. It's that simple, and there's that much money out there, but it's, you know, the people at the top aren't paying into Social Security. They're not paying their fair share. And if we just restructured the tax system very simply, there would be enough money within 6 months to pay for drugs for everybody, prescription drugs for everybody, and universal health care.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Class War at Home, Part 2, The Destruction of Pensions. We're continuing our discussion with Jack Rasmus. Ralph?
Look, Jack has given an indication of what it means to permit this 1% of the population that owns more than 95% of the rest of us combined to maintain their hijacking of the political process, the state apparatus, and the economy itself. Imagine if we displace these people. Imagine if the ruling class no longer controls the means of production. Imagine if we have a workers' control over their own economic output, the fruit of our labor, brothers and sisters. It's but the little expression of what we could do in this and any other society. Free food, free housing, free clothing, free schooling, free health care, and an entitlement such as the air we breathe. We cannot begin to imagine the productive capacity of working people in this society, because this rapacious system has arrogated all of our labor and the fruits thereof to their own benefit. And the manifestation of this, as Jack has been documenting, is occurring with the replacement of obligation to give pensions, obligation to give retirement, obligation to give Social Security with cash balance plans, 401k plans, which are requiring us to put our earnings into speculative investments in hedge funds in the stock market, which the banks and the stock market managers control, from which they make huge amounts in commissions. And these funds are completely volatile. They are ripped off. They are speculated upon, and they collapse. Meanwhile, as Jack has demonstrated, the very pension funds that have been accumulated are deployed on the books by the corporations as a demonstration of their profitability. The funds that they're holding of your own contribution in reserve for your pensions, which are now in the process of being liquidated, are put on their balance sheet to show how profitable they are, and thereby to be able to borrow against them and to invest speculative against them. It's a con game. It's a con game of the first order. And what we have here is that, as Jack puts it, the U.S. worker will pay the price, both as employee and as taxpayer. The demise will turn into a collapse, overwhelming the PBGC and requiring what? A savings and loan bailout at public expense. You see, they catch us coming and they catch us going. When their rapacious speculation with our earnings and our guaranteed funds collapses, they hand the bill to us to pay for their own greed and their own profiteering. That's the nature of the restructuring of the pension system in the United States. And as Jack says, pensions now, Social Security next.
Jack, we've discussed the changes in pensions in the 1980s. Let's move to the 1990s and the changes that took place then, which are causing what Ralph is referring to now.
Well, if the story in the 80s was a wholesale siphoning off and skimming of pension funds, it got so bad that in 1990 a rule was passed that the corporations had to pay a 50% excise tax if they skimmed off the top. Well, what corporations simply did in the 90s as a result was not put the money back. The name of the game and the strategy in the 90s was called contribution holidays. They simply didn't put any money in it, and they manipulated the pension funds two ways. If anybody's negotiating pension funds, and I've negotiated scores of them, there's two ways to play games with pension funds values. One is manipulating what's called actuarial assumptions. In other words, what's the average age of the workforce? And the younger the average age of the workforce, the more you can create paper profits and therefore don't have to put money into it or can take money out. And, you know, the other assumption is called the rate of return or the interest rate assumption. You can assume that your pension is going to earn far more than it actually will over the next 10 years. And it bloats that pension fund on paper, makes it look bigger than it is and safer than it is. And that's what management was allowed to do during the 1990s, during the Clinton years. Rules were passed that made it very easy for them to play those two assumption games and not put money back and make it look like the pensions were okay until you got to the recession of 2001 and interest rates really fell to 1% and more young workers got laid off. So all you had was older workers. And all of a sudden, these pension funds were deep, deep in the red, and they went bust. And that was done purposely. I think they are trying to create a crisis in the pension funds, and George Bush's personal investment accounts are designed to do the same thing as 401ks. In other words, siphon money out of Social Security to eventually make it look like there's not sufficient funding and then allow it to privatize. Just as we've, quote, privatized defined benefits into 401ks, Bush's PIAs, or personal investment accounts, were designed to do the same thing. And by the way, health savings accounts and health care are the same kind of an animal. They're designed to do the same thing, to further privatize and undermine the viability of these health and welfare funds, so then they could privatize them. And even congressmen are saying that what's happening with defined benefit plans now is it's leading fairly quickly to a, as you pointed out, Ralph, to a real crisis in defined benefit plans and a big bailout. And we'll talk about the Defined Benefit Pension Protection Act a little bit if you want. But it's really designed to cause a big bailout and crisis, which, by the way, the taxpayer, like the savings and loan crisis in the 80s, is going to have to foot the bill for.
I think we need to backtrack a little to discuss how pension funds operate, because unlike Social Security, pension funds are invested with in the big funds. You have professional managers, but for the most part, the funds are invested in the stock market, in speculative enterprises, but you have professional managers who manage to make more out of it than an individual would in controlling their own investments with a 401k plan. So you get very large funds like the pension fund for the California state workers, the public sector workers, whether it's the teachers or the public employees in various municipalities or working for the states, where they have diverse investments in real estate, but for the most part in speculation, in Wall Street. So as you say, when Wall Street goes up, then the value of the pension fund goes up. But when Wall Street goes down, then the value of the pension fund goes down. Could you please explain how that is tying in worker savings, unlike Social Security, with Wall Street? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pension funds, you know, there are laws that require certain, conservative investments, at least there used to be in pension funds. Those have been grossly liberalized. And it used to be that you could only, a defined benefit plan, the people who ran the plan, the managers and so forth, had to have fiduciary responsibility. In other words, they couldn't speculate as much with this money. But in the last 10 years, those limits have been lifted. And what you see now, particularly with the Pension Act that was passed in 2006, managers can go and invest this money into hedge funds and hugely speculative activity, which if you read the European press, hedge funds are heading for a real bust. You don't see it in the American press. It's being covered up. But, if your big pension funds are invested in these hedge funds, it's going to look very much like an Enron across the board.
Ralph and Jack, what is a hedge fund?
A hedge fund is a very speculative kind of investment that's just been created in the last 10 years. Actually, it's like a mutual fund, but it's very privatized. There's no regulation. The Security Exchange Commission, the government, doesn't even know what's going on with these funds. And corporations and capitalists in the U.S. are really fighting to prevent any kind of regulation of these funds and any kind of even reporting of these funds of what's going on. This is the extreme form of speculation in credit derivatives and so forth.
It's fictive capital. You can have maybe a 1% actual cash input, and against that you will have extrapolations, and those extrapolations are then translated into bank loan advanced monies, which are then put on a speculative investment ratio where they try to generate trades that come to 4 and 5 times the amount that you've put up on a given week or month. But of course, these things are just paper shuffling, and they're as it were derived. They're derivatives from a very minimal actual cash presence. So they're hedging against speculation on what they may be able to trade for, and then they lend against what they're speculating they'll get back. So the whole thing is a house of cards. As Jack says, the volatility and potential collapse ensures that the general collapse of pensions will make the bankrupting of pensions in Enron and WorldCom pale in comparison. But brothers and sisters, it isn't just the collapse of hedge funds with respect to pensions that we're looking at here. What this is going to do, and I think it's not, it doesn't require a crystal ball to demonstrate what is in store for us. The entire collapse of the currency and the economic system is pending this house of cards. The dependency of the Chinese bureaucracy and its investments and of the Japanese economy on these treasuries, which are deficit-derived, and all of the hedge funds that underwrite this are riding for a fall that will wipe out everything that we own, everything that we've earned, brothers and sisters. Those are the stakes here. And indeed, if you look at just what, as Jack described, the 2000 Act provision with the Financial Accounting Standards Board, all the major corporate pension funds are underfunded. Hundreds of billions of underfunding really means that there is no secure basis for our receiving our pensions or our retirement anymore. Fortune 1000 corporations across the board in all industries in 2005 and 2006 announced a freezing of all benefits in their existing DPBs. So in truth and in reality, they are wiping out our pensions. They are compelling us to depend upon the most speculative and unstable, volatile speculation on the part of the paper shuffling, derivative-based capitalist shell game. It's a crisis waiting to explode and to occur.
And people are worried. A friend of mine who recently retired as a teacher, longtime teacher, over 20 years in New Jersey, referred me to an article that appeared in the New York Times on April 4th, New Jersey Diverts Billions Endangering Pension Fund, by Mary Williams Walsh and several other authors. And the New Jersey Pension Fund is shown by industry statistics to be the 9th largest in the nation's public sector, with assets of $79 billion. And the New York Times, when it investigated the New Jersey Pension Fund, noticed that New Jersey had been reporting various figures, none of which seemed accurate, in terms of its contributions to its pension fund, particularly the pension fund for teachers, which is part of the public sector pension fund in New Jersey. It showed that it had either contributed $551 million or, by other accounts, $56 million. But when the state was actually investigated, it showed that it had contributed to the pension fund over the last few years, and this was in 2005, zero. And this the teachers' fund itself covers 65,000 retirees and 155,000 current teachers. So both the retirees and the current teachers are worried about what's going to happen with the New Jersey fund. Particularly, they're worried about the state's reporting of what it's doing with their money. Could you please discuss that?
Yeah. If contribution holidays were the name of the game attacking pensions during the 90s, the name of the game in the 2000s is cash balance plans. What they have to do is to dismantle what remains of defined benefits, private and public sector, is to create the impression of a severe crisis, that these funds are terribly underfunded and that there's a lot of shenanigans going on and so forth. They got to terrorize workers into thinking that maybe what we need to do, there's not enough funds in our defined benefit plan. We need to cash out. That's what a cash balance plan is. It's like.
What do you mean by cash out? Take your money and then invest it yourself.
Take half of your money that you would have got, because that's about what you get in a cash out, and then put it in, guess what, a 401k plan. So cash balance plans are the means for transferring what's left of defined benefit plans into 401k plans. They weren't legal until the passage in 2006 of the so-called Pension Protection Act. They've been made legal. There was also a corresponding court case that was pending involving IBM and
age discrimination.
Yeah, well, that was part of the whole thing, but it was really setting up a cash balance plan, IBM. And IBM, once the Pension Act was passed and the court rulings came down 2 days after the Pension Act was passed, IBM pocketed $4 billion extra money.
Could you explain what happened? Because that is very important. Instead of being a pension protection, it was a pension theft act.
Right. The Pension Act of October 2006 is really designed to accelerate what remains of the demise of defined benefit pension plans. And in my article, Tolling the Retirement Bell in America, that you can read off my website, I describe how that act is designed to accelerate the decline of what's left. One is allowing companies to put money into hedge funds out of their pensions. Another means is setting up and legalizing cash balance plans going forward. And that's why, as Ralph said, they're freezing all their pension contributions and benefit increases, because they're preparing to cash out, to go cash balance
plans. Where you only get half of what would have received if you had received your full retirement.
But first you got to terrorize the workers, particularly like in the auto industry, to think that their pensions may not be there in the airline industry, and get them to believe, well, it's better if I just take what I can and run with it and put it in a 401k. Something's better than nothing. So that's really at the heart of the whole strategy, to make workers to terrorize them, to think that let's cash out, and they have the device now called the cash balance plan to do just that. At the same time this act was passed and the court decisions came down in August of 2006, the Financial Accounting Standards Board of the U.S. government started issuing rules, and they're continuing to issue rules that in effect will say that just about every defined benefit plan that exists out there is in the red. And they're really using that approach to go after the public employee defined benefit plans, which are the only ones, major ones, that still remain. They haven't been attacked yet. But by issuing these new rules, and it's just on paper, it will presumably show that there's not enough funding for any of these plans. There'll be a big public propaganda campaign to say, oh, the whole private pension system is broke like the savings and loans. Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, you got to provide the bailout of trillions of dollars. Of course, they're not going to want to do that, the taxpayer. So then all they can do is turn around and convert the cash balance plans and give people a cash out and put what remains in 401ks. That's the strategy. And by the way, that was the strategy with Social Security, with the PIAs. Suck enough money out of Social Security, give it to the New York investment banks and insurance companies, create eventually over the years what appears to be a crisis in Social Security, and then privatize the whole thing, just as they've done it with private pension, defined benefit plans.
Jack, you've documented in three articles that it's a $1 trillion a year income shift. The calculations on the cost of the war in Iraq are $2 trillion. On the basis of oil prices going up something like $8 a barrel, they've gone up $40 a barrel. You're talking about a $4 trillion boondoggle in this devastation and murder of Iraq. The trillions of dollars that are shifted to the ruling class and the corporate executives are creating, of course, a huge deficit-based economy. And how do they address this deficit? By raiding us. Look at the headline on this April 4th, 2007 story in the New York Times. New Jersey diverts billions, endangering pension funds. And it turns out that they represented they had hundreds of millions, $500 million there, and they actually have zero. The phantom contribution, the New York Times writes, is an indication that New Jersey, that's not us, brothers and sisters, workers who live in New Jersey, the state apparatus has diverted billions of dollars from its pension fund. The discrepancies raise questions, says the Times. How much money is really in the New Jersey pension fund? The Times examination of the pension fund shows that officials have taken, quote, questionable steps again and again. What are those questionable steps? They raided all the money, and they concealed the fact. They used that funding for their boondoggles. If people ran their households like this, they'd be in bankruptcy, said Lynn Turner, chief accountant for the Securities and Exchange Commission. In bankruptcy, brothers and sisters, they'd be doing big-time time if they were working people. If you steal a loaf of bread, you go to prison. What we're looking at here is a kleptocracy, an absolute theft of our earnings, of our pensions, of our funds, and New Jersey is but the tip of the iceberg. It's the ninth largest, after all, funding in the, of all the states in the country. And as the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Christopher Fox, stated, the false information about the pension funds into bond offerings amounts to securities fraud. That's what we're dealing with, brothers and sisters. It's not just theft. It's not just funding that is stolen from us. It's outright fraud.
Jack, you wanted to discuss
SERPs. One point. What's a SERP? S-E-R-P.
That's a new one for me.
Yeah, well, it's a creation in about the last decade. While they are dismantling our defined benefit plans, CEOs and senior management is expanding their personal defined benefit plans by record amounts. SERP refers to a supplemental executive retirement plan, and it's a deferred compensation plan, and a typical CEO in U.S. makes somewhere between $10 and $20 million. About a third of that compensation is in SERPs, and the percentage is rising. So while they're eliminating our defined benefit plans, they're expanding senior management, expanding their own by record amounts. And in fact, you go to a corporate 10-K report, you can't even see how much they're putting into these SERPs.
As a SERP would be tax-free. In other words, if it's deferred income
right.
until their retirement.
Right,
so
right.
In other words, they're being paid $10 million, but they're not being taxed on that $10
million
as income because it's being deferred income into a tax-free retirement plan.
Exactly.
Is that what you're explaining?
Essentially, that's what a SERP is. That's why when you read these headlines about CEOs golden parachutes when they leave, they're getting hundreds of millions of dollars. A lot of that is because of the SERPs.
I just read that about Home Depot and also Ford Motors. And in fact, that sounds like what you describe in your book about originally in the late 1930s with the creation of Social Security, pensions actually only existed for managers. And what we're ending up with is pensions existing for managers, and for everyone else, it's you're on your own.
Well, Jack, you have documented and demonstrated that in essence the pensions and Social Security and the retirement possibilities and the survival possibilities for working people are at risk here because they want them to be these secured funds to be placed in speculative undertakings for Wall Street. Here's the World Socialist website, March 2nd, 2007, wild swings on Wall Street. Dow Jones plunged 209 points when trading opened. $1.5 trillion were wiped out on the roller coaster. And what the documentation is from U.S. Federal Reserve Board Chairman Ben Bernanke to Greenspan himself, there are underlying structural problems in the world financial system. This is the Wall Street Journal. This plunge in stocks raises the possibilities that investors are now risk adverse, that have a consequence that will have huge consequence for U.S. and world economies. And that goes to the issue of subprime lending, which endangers $6.5 trillion in the bond market, ever more risky ventures. That's what you're describing, Jack. Our pensions, our Social Security, the privatization of it all, going into an economy that is volatile, which is structurally at risk. It points to the fact, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, that the capitalist economy is resting on shaky foundations. That's from the Voice of Capitalism. That's what we're dealing with here. Jack, you are the not just the architect of an explanation of what workers are at risk here, but you are the meticulous documenter of the process and what we are all facing right now.
We'll continue this discussion next week, but first, Jack, tell our brothers and sisters where they can acquire for themselves the War at Home Economic Class War in America.
Well, you could buy it at Amazon or Borders online. You can also look at your local independent bookstore. The AFL-CIO's bookstore online called unionshop.org has copies. And then you can go to the publisher's website, Kyklos Productions, spelled K-Y-K-L-O-S, productions, plural, .com, and order the book there and get all my free articles downloaded.
And what's your website, Jack?
The website is kyklosproductions.com.
Great.
And spell Kyklos, Jack.
K-Y-K-L-O-S, productions, plural, .com.
And we'll continue with Jack next week with a discussion of healthcare, the destruction of healthcare. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Class War at Home, the destruction of pensions, part two of Class War at Home, will be on our website, www.takingaimradio.com, as well as on the WBAI website. I'd also like to mention, save this date, June 23rd, that's a Saturday. Ralph Schoenman will be at the Ethical Culture Society for a benefit for WBAI. June 23rd, that's a Saturday. Save the date. We'll be with you next week.